The following sermon by Dr. John Owen is a continuation of the sermon, Righteous Zeal Encouraged by Divine Protection, 1648. I come in the fifth place to God's direction to you for the future in the state and condition which being spread in a number of verses as the Lord gives it to the prophet. I shall meddle with no more of it than is contained in the words which at our entrance I read to you. Let them return, and so on. In the words, observe four things. First, God's direction to the prophet and in him to all that do his work in such a season as this described. Let them return to you, not return to them. Secondly, their assistance and support in pursuing of that direction. I will make you to this people a brazen, fenced wall. Number three, the opposition with its success and issue, which in that way they should meet with. They shall fight against you, but they shall not prevail. And lastly, their consolation and success from the presence of the Lord. For I am with you to deliver you, and so on. First, there is God's direction. Many difficulties in this troublesome season was the prophet intricated with. The people would not be prevailed with to come up to the mind of God. They, continuing in their stubbornness, the Lord would not be prevailed with to avert the threatened desolation. What now shall he do to stand out against the bulk of the people suits not his earthly interest, to couple with him answers not the discharge of his office? To wait upon them any longer is fruitless. To give up himself to their ways, comfortless. Hence his complaints, hence his moanings. Better lie down and sink under the burden than always to swim against the stream of an unreformable multitude. In this strait, the Lord comes in with his direction. Let them return to you, and so on. Keep your station. Perform your duty. Don't comply with the children of backsliding, but whatever be the issue, if there be any closing worked, let it be by working them off from their ways of folly. All condescension on your part, where the work of God is to be done, is in opposition to him. If they return, embrace him freely. If not, do your duty constantly. That which is spoken immediately to the prophet I shall hold out to all, acting in the name and authority of God in this general proposition. Observation. Plausible compliances of men in authority with those against whom they are employed are treacherous contrivances against the God of heaven by whom they are employed. If God be so provoked that he curses him who does his work negligently, what is he by them that to do it treacherously? When he gives a sword into the hands of men and they thrust it into his own bowels, his glory and honor, though things so dear to him, he that is entrusted with it and dares not do justice on every one that dares do injustice is afraid of the creature, but makes very bold with the Creator. Proverbs 25, verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. That which God aims to be glorious in, to manifest his attributes by, is the concealing and covering our iniquities in Christ. But if the magistrate will have glory, if he will not bring upon himself dishonor by dishonoring God, and find out the transgressions that which he is aware that he is entrusted in, and to give to them condign retribution, if the Lord curse him who come not forth to his help against the mighty, Judges 5:23, what is there due who, being called forth by him, do yet help the mighty against him? For a man to take part with the kingdom's enemies is no small crime. But for a commissioned officer to run from them by whom he is commissionated, to take part with the adversary is death without mercy. Yet have not some in our days arrived at a stupendous impudence, that when as private persons they have declaimed against the enemies of the nation, and by that means have gotten themselves into authority, they have made use of that authority to comply with and uphold those by an opposition to whom they got into their authority, which is no less than an atheistical attempt to personate the Almighty, to such iniquities as without his appearance they dare not own. But he that justifies the wicked, and he that condemns the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord, and not only to the Lord, but to good men also. He that says to the wicked, you are a righteous man, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. I speak only as to the general. For me, let all particulars find mercy, with a sad remembrance of the late workings of things amongst us, with those vile, sordid compliances which grew upon the spirits of magistrates and ministers, with those whose garments were dyed with the blood of God's saints and precious ones, as formerly they were called, for now these names are become terms of reproach. And would this complying when alone, but pretenses and accusations must be found out against such as follow with them. When they begin to call darkness light, they will ere long call light darkness, by which means our eyes have seen men of their own accord laying down the weapons in which at first they fought against opposers, and taken up them which were used against themselves, as has happened more than once to pen men both in our own and in our neighbor nation. Now this revolting from principles of religion and righteousness to a compliance with any sinful way or person is a treacherous opposition to the God of heaven, for it cannot be done but by preferring the creature before the Creator, especially in those things which are the proximate causes of deviation. Two principal causes I have observed of this crooked walking. First, fear. Secondly, that desire of perishing things which has a mixture of covetousness and ambition. The first makes men wary what they do against men. The other makes them weary of doing anything for God, as whereby their sordid ends are not like to be accomplished. First, fear. When once magistrates begin to listen, and so to withdraw from doing good for fear of suffering evil, paths of wickedness are quickly returned to, and the authority of God is despised. Let this man go, and take heed of Caesar. John 19:12 did more prevail upon Pilate's treacherous heart than all the other clamors of the Jews. Yea, was not the whole Sanhedrin swayed to desperate villainy for fear the Romans should come and take away their kingdom? John 11:48 When men begin once to distrust that God will leave them in the briars to wrestle it out themselves, for unbelief lies at the bottom of carnal fear, they quickly turn themselves to contrivances of their own for their own safety, their own prosperity, which commonly is obliging those to them by compliances and an opposition to whom they might oblige the Almighty to their assistance. Surely they conclude he lacks either truth or power to support them in his employment. If a prince should send an ambassador to a foreign state to treat about peace or to denounce war, who, when he comes there, distrusting his master's power to make good his undertaking, should comply and wind up his interests with him to whom he was sent, suffering his sovereign's errand to fall to the ground, would he not be esteemed as arrant a traitor as ever lived? And yet, though this be clipped coin among men, it is put upon the Lord every day as current. From this principle of carnal fear and unbelief, trembling for a man that shall die, and the son of man that shall be as grass, forgetting the Lord our Maker, Isaiah 51:12, are all those prudential follies which exercise the minds of most men in authority, making them especially in times of difficulties to regulate and square all their proceedings by what suits their own safety and particular interests. Counseling, advising, working for themselves, quite forgetting by whom they are entrusted and whose business they should do. Secondly, a desire of perishing things, tempered with covetousness and ambition. Hence was the sparing of the fat cattle and of Agag by Saul, 1 Samuel 15:1. When those two qualifications close on any, They are diametrically opposed to that frame which of God is required in them, namely, that they should be men fearing God and hating covetousness. The first will go far, being only a contrivance for safety, but if this latter take hold of any, being a consultation to exalt themselves, it quickly carries them beyond all bounds whatsoever. The Lord grant that hereafter there may be no such complaints in this nation, or that they may be causeless, as have been heretofore, namely, that we have poured out our prayers, jeoparded our lives, wasted our estates, spent our blood, served the lusts, and compassed the designs of the ambitious, ungodly man. The many ways in which these things entrench upon the spirits of men, to bias them from the paths of the Lord, I shall not insist on. It is enough that I have touched on the obvious causes of deviation and manifested them to be treacheries against the God of all authority. Application. Be exhorted to beware of relapses with all their causes and inducements, and to be constant to the ways of righteousness. And this I shall hold out to you in two particulars. One, labor to recover others, even all that were ever distinguished and called by the name of the Lord, from their late fearful returning to sinful compliances with the enemies of God and the nation. I speak not of men's persons, but of their ways. For 3 years, as people have been imminently sick of the folly of backsliding, and without some special cordial, are like to perish in it, as far as I know. Look upon the estate of this people compared to 7 years ago, so for some continuance, as they are now, and you shall find in how many things we have returned to others, and not one example to be given of their return to us. That this may be clear, take some particulars. First, in words and expressions, turn them over, and you may find what is in the whole heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now is not that language? Are not those very expressions which filled the mouths of the common adversaries only grown also terms of reproach on the tongues of men that suffered sometimes under them, and counted it their honor so to do? Hence that common exprobration, a parliament of saints, an army of saints, and such like derisions of God's ways, now plentiful with them who sat sometimes and took sweet counsel with us. Ah, had it not been more for the honor of God that we had kept our station until others had come to us, so to have exalted the name and profession of the gospel, that we should so return to them as to join with them in making the paths of Christ a reproach. Had it not been better for us with Judah to continue ruling with God and to be faithful with the saints, Hosea 11:12, than to stand in the congregation of the mockers and to sit in the seat of the scornful? What shall we say when the saints of God are as signs and wonders to be spoken against in Israel? Isaiah 8:18. Oh, that men would remember how they have left their first station, when themselves use those reproaches to others which for the same cause themselves formerly bear with comfort. It is bitterness to consider how the gospel is scandalized by this woeful return of ministers and people, by casting scriptural expressions by way of scorn on those with whom they were sometimes in the like kind companions of contempt. Surely in this we are returned to them, and not they to us. Secondly, in actions in those, first, of religion, not only in opinion but practice also, are we here under a vile return. We are become the lions, and the very same thoughts are entertained by us against others, as were exercised towards ourselves. Are not others as unworthy to live upon their native soil in their judgments, as we ourselves in the judgments of them formerly over us? Are not grown for liberty, by the warmth of favor, in a few years hatched into attempts for tyranny, and for practice, what hold has former superstition, and observing days and times laid upon many of the people again, witness the late solemn superstition and many things of the like nature? Secondly, for civil things, the closing of so many formerly otherwise engaged with the adverse party in the late rebellion, with a lukewarm deportment of others at the same time, is a sufficient demonstration of it. And may not the Lord justly complain of all this? What iniquity have you seen in me or my ways, that you are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity and are become vain? Jeremiah 2, verse 5. Why have you changed your glory for that which does not profit? Verse 11. Have I been a dry heath or a barren wilderness to you? Oh, that men should find no more sweetness in following the Lamb under wonderful protections, but that they should thus turn aside into every wilderness. What indignity is this to the ways of God? I could give you many reasons of it, but I have done what I intended, a little hinted that we are a returning people, that so you might be exhorted to help for a recovery. And how shall that be? Secondly, by your own keeping close to the paths of righteousness. If you return not, others will look about again. This breach, this evil is of you, within your own walls, with the fountain of our backsliding. Would you be the repairer of breaches, the restorers of paths for men to walk in? Do these two things. First, turn not to the ways of such as the Lord has blasted under your eyes. And these may be referred to three heads: oppression, self-seeking, contrivances for persecution. Number one, oppression. How detestable a crime it is in the eyes of the Almighty. What effects it has upon men, making wise men mad. Ecclesiastes 7:7. How frequently it closes in the calamitous ruin of the oppressors themselves. Are things known to all? Whether it has not been exercised in this nation, both in general by unnecessary impositions, and in particular by unwarrantable pressures, let the mournful cries of all sorts of people testify. Should you now return to such ways as these, would not the anger of the Lord smoke against you? Make it, I beseech you, your design to relieve the whole by all means possible, and to relieve particulars, yea, even of the adverse party, were too much overborne. Well, let it be considered by you, that it be not considered upon you. I know the things you are necessitated to are not to be supported by the air. It is only what is unnecessary as to you, or insupportable as to others, that requires your speedy reforming, that so it may be said of you, as Nehemiah 5:14-15. And for particulars, pray pardon my folly and boldness. I heartily desire a committee of your honorable house might sit once a week to relieve poor men that have been oppressed by men sometimes enjoying parliamentary authority. Number two, self-seeking. When men can be content to lay a nation low, that they may set up themselves upon the heaps and ruins of it, have not some sought to advance themselves under that power which, with the lives and blood of the people they have opposed, seeming to be troubled at former things, not because they were done, but because they were not done by them? But innocent blood will be found a tottering foundation for men to build their honors, greatness, and preferments on. O, return not in this to any. If men serve themselves of the nation, they must expect that the nation will serve itself upon them. The best security you can possibly have that the people will perform their duty in obedience is a witness of your own consciences that you have discharged your duty towards them, and seeking their good by your own trouble, and not your own advantages in their trouble. I doubt not but that in this your practice makes the admonition a commendation, otherwise the word spoken will certainly witness against you. Number three, contrivances for persecution. How were the hearts of all men hardened like the nether millstone, and their thoughts did grind blood and revenge against their brethren? What colors, what pretenses had men invented to prepare a way for the rolling of their garments and the tears, yea, blood of Christians? The Lord so keep your spirits from a compliance in this, that withal the bow be not too much bent on the other side, which is not impossible. Be there a backsliding upon your spirit to these, or such like things as these, the Lord will walk contrary to you, and were you as a signet upon his hand, he would pluck you off. Secondly, don't return to the open enemies of our peace. I could here enlarge myself to support your spirits in the work mentioned. Job 24, verses 14 and 15, but I must go on to the following parts of my text, and therefore I pass from the direction given to the supportment and assistance promise, I will make you to this people a brazen and a fence wall, an implied objection which a prophet might put in upon his charge to keep so close to the rule of righteousness as here removed. If I must thus abide by it, to execute whatsoever the Lord calls me out to, not shrinking nor staggering at the greatest undertakings, what will become of me in the issue? Will it not be destructive to stand out against the confirmed people? No, saith the Lord, it shall not be. I will make you, and so on. Observation. God will certainly give prevailing strength and unconquerable defense to persons constantly discharging the duties of righteousness, especially when undertaken in times of difficulty and opposition. The like engagement to this you have made to Ezekiel in chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Neither was it so to the prophets alone, but to magistrates also. When Joshua undertook the regency of Israel in a difficult time, he took off his fear and diffidence with this very encouragement, Joshua 1:5, he says he will make them a wall, the best defense against opposition, and that not a weak tottering wall that might easily be cast down, but a brazen wall that must be impregnable. What engines can possibly prevail against a wall of brass? And to make it more secure, this brazen wall shall be fenced with all manner of fortifications and ammunition, so that the veriest coward in the world, being behind such a wall, may, without dread or terror, apply himself to that which he finds to do. God will so secure the instruments of his glory against a backsliding people, in holding up the ways of his truth and righteousness, that all attempts against them shall be vain, and a most timorous spirit may be secure, providing he doesn't go out of the Lord's way. For if they be found beyond the line, the brazen wall, they may easily be surprised. And indeed, who but a fool would run from the shelter of a brazen wall to hide himself in a little stubble? And yet so do all who run to their own wisdom from the most hazardous engagement in any of the ways of God can possibly lead them to. It is a sure word, and forever to be rested upon, which the Lord gives in to Asa, 2 Chronicles 15:2. The Lord is with you, while you be with him. An unbiased magistracy shall never lack God's continued presence. Very Jeroboam himself receives a promise upon condition of close walking with God and righteous administrations, of having a house built him like the house of David, 1 Kings 11:38. What a wall was God to Moses in that great undertaking of being instrumental for the delivery of Israel from a bondage and slavery of 400 years continuance. Pharaoh was against him, whom he had deprived of his sovereignty and dominion over the people. And what a provocation the depriving of sovereignty is to potentates needs no demonstration. To the corruption of nature which inclines to heights and exaltations, in imitation of the fountain whence it flows, they have also the corruption of state and condition which is always inclined to absoluteness and tyranny. All Egypt was against him, as being by him visibly destroyed, wasted, spoiled, and robbed, at length smitten in the apple of the eye by the loss of their firstborn. And if this be not enough, that the king and people whom he opposed were his enemies, the very people for whose sakes he set himself to oppose the others, they also rise up against him, yea, seek to destroy him. One time they appealed to God for justice against him, Exodus 5:21. The Lord look upon you and judge. They appeal to the righteous God to witness that he had not fulfilled what he promised them, to wit, liberty, safety, and freedom from oppression, but that rather by his means their burdens were increased. And in this they were so confident, like some amongst us, that they appealed to God for the equity of their complaints, afterward being reduced to a strait, such as they could not see how possibly they should be extricated from. Without utter ruin, like our present condition and the apprehension of some, they cry out upon him for the whole design of bringing them into the wilderness, and affirm positively that though they had perished in their formal slavery, It had been better for them to have followed him in this new and dangerous engagement, Exodus 14, 11, and 12, that generation being, as John Calvin observes, so inured to bondage that they were altogether unfit to bear with the workings and pangs of their approaching liberty. Afterward, do they lack drink? Moses is the cause. Do they lack meat? This Moses would starve them, Exodus 15:24 and 16:7. He cannot let them alone by the flesh pots of Egypt, for this they are ready to stone him. Exodus 17:3. At this day have we too much rain or too short a harvest? It is laid on the shoulders of the present government. It was no otherwise of old. At length this people came to that height as being frightened by the opposition they heard of and framed to themselves in that place where Moses would carry them. They presently enter into a conspiracy and revolt, consulting to cast off his government and choose new commanders with a violent hand to return to their former condition, Numbers 14:4. An attempt as frequent as fruitless among ourselves. When this would not do, at length, upon the occasion of taking off Korah and his company, they assemble themselves together, and lay not imprisonment, but murder to his charge, and that of the people of the Lord, Numbers 16:41. Now what was the issue of all those oppositions? What effect had they? How did the power of Pharaoh, the revenge of Egypt, the backsliding of Israel prevail? Why, God made this one Moses a fence, brazen wall to them all. He was never in the least measure prevailed against. So long as he was with God, God was with him, no matter who was against him. One thing only would I commend to your consideration, namely, that this Moses, thus preserved, thus delivered, thus protected, falling into one deviation and one thing from close following the Lord, was taken off from enjoying the closure and fruit of all his labor. Numbers 20, verse 12. Otherwise he followed the Lord in a difficult season, and did not lack unconquerable support. Take heed of the smallest turning aside from God. Oh, lose not the fruit of all your labor, for self, for a lust, or anything that may turn you aside. Application 1. To discover the vanity and folly of all opposition to men called forth of God to his work, and walking in his ways. Would you not think him mad, that should strike with his fist, and run with his head against a fenced brazen wall, to cast it down? Is he like to have any success, but the battering of his flesh and the beating out of his brains? What do the waves obtain by dashing themselves with noise and dread against a rock, but their own beating to pieces? What prevails a man by shooting his arrows against the sky but a return upon his own head? Nor is the most powerful opposition to the ways of God like to meet with better success. God looks no otherwise upon opposers than you would do upon a man attempting to thrust down a fence brazen wall with his fingers. Therefore it is said that in their proudest attempts, strongest assaults, deepest counsels, combinations, and associations, he laughs them to scorn, derides their folly, contemns their fury, lets them sweat in vain until their day is come. Psalm 2. How birthless in our own as well as other generations have been their swelling conceptions. What then is it that prevails upon men to break through so many disappointments against the Lord as they do? Doubtless that of Isaiah 23, verse 9. Surely the Lord of hosts has purposed it, to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. God gives up men to it, that he may leave no earthly glory or honor without pollution or contempt. And therefore has opposition in our days been turned upon so many hands, that God might leave no glory without contempt. Yet, with this difference, that if the Lord will own them, he will recover them from their opposition, as has happened of late to the ministry of one, and will happen ere long to the ministry of another nation. When the Lord has a little stained the pride of their glory, they shall be brought home again by the spirit of judgment and burning. But if he own them not, they shall perish under the opposition, and when it has been willed about on all sorts of men, the end will be. Application 2. Be wise now, therefore, O you rulers. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Psalm 2, verses 10 and 11. See whence your assistance comes. See where lies the hills of your salvation. And say, Ashur shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in you the fatherless finds mercy. Hosea 14:3. It is God alone who is a sun and a shield. His ways do good to the upright in heart. Behold, here is a way to encompass England with a brazen wall. Let the rulers of it walk in right ways with upright hearts. Others have been careful to preserve the people to them, and a city to them. Oh, be you careful to preserve your God to you. He alone can make you a fenced wall. If he departs, your wall departs, your shade departs. Give me leave to insist a little on one particular, which I choose out among many others. When God leads out his people to any great things, the angel of his presence is still among them. The angel of the covenant, in whom is the name of God, that has power of pardoning or retaining transgressions, Jesus Christ, the angel that redeems his out of all their troubles. He is in the midst of them and amongst them. Genesis 48, verse 16. And God gives this special caution. If we would have his assistance, that we should beware of him and obey him and don't provoke him. Would you then have God's assistance continued? Take heed of provoking the angel of his presence. Don't provoke him by slighting of his ways. Don't provoke him by contemning his ordinances. If you leave him to deal for himself, he will leave you to shift for yourselves. What though his followers are at some difference, to best knowing but in part, about the administration of some things in his kingdom, the envious one having also sown some bitter seeds of persecution, strife, envy, and contention among them? What though some poor creatures are captivated by Satan, the prince of pride, to a contempt of all his ordinances, whose souls I hope the Lord will one day free from the snare of the devil? Yet I pray, give me leave. It is no time to contest or dispute it, to bear witness in the behalf of my master to this one truth, that if by your own personal practice and observance, your protection, countenance, authority, and laws, you do not assert, maintain, uphold the order of the gospel and administration of the ordinances of Christ, notwithstanding the noise and clamors of novel fancies, which like Jonah's gourd has sprung up in a night and will wither in a day, you will be forsaken by the angel of God's presence, and you will become an astonishment to all the inhabitants of the earth. And in this I do not speak as one hesitating or dubious, but positively assert it as the known mind of God, and whereof he will not suffer any long to doubt. Psalm 2 verse 12. Application 3. Strengthen you the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Isaiah 35, 3 and 4. Let the most weak and fearful, the fainting heart, the trembling spirit, and the doubting mind know that full and plenary security, perfect peace, attends the upright in the ways of God. You that are in God's way, and do God's work, and take this cordial for all your distempers, return not to former provoking ways, and he will make you a fenced, brazen wall.